listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You would be indeed if Paul Strohlig was here, but he's back in Chicago still. Yes, doing business back there, and so we have the lovely and talented Andrew David James.
I've never been called lovely before. I will take that any day of the week. Thank you, Michael.
Well, we spent some time together this week. So
we certainly did. We had a good time.
That's why I'm calling you lovely.
But I tell you, I'm proud to sit in here for one of my favorite performers, Paul Strohlig, and keep his seat warm until he gets back.
So. Yeah? Well, not too warm, you know. Not too warm. So, Andrew, we've got a hell of a show today, right?
We do.
Well, we better start by thanking our sponsors. What do you think?
Pay some bills?
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And Andrew, in studio with us today are two of LA's most sought-after theater performers, now working together in a musical spoof of reality TV's Real Housewives shows.
That's right. The spoof that I am speaking about and that you are speaking about, Michael, is none other than Real Housewives of Toluca Lake. Having just begun its previews last night on March 23rd, with its official opening next week on April 1st at Gary Marshall's beautiful Falcon Theater in where else but, of course, Toluca Lake, California. Cynthia Ferrer and Mark Ginsburg are here. Please welcome them.
Welcome,
guys.
Thank you
very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Oh, holy cow.
Sit down, people. Sit. Oh, my goodness. That is unbelievable.
And right on cue, they listen to you.
That's right. Do you take them with you everywhere you go, guys? That is pretty impressive.
Yes, everywhere we go. Mark and I, we feed on that.
That's true. It's true.
They're a good bunch.
That's right.
But, Drew, before we speak to Cynthia and to Mark, how was your week?
I know
we'll talk about what we did together, but how was your week other than that?
Than just the time I spent with you?
Yeah.
Because, of course, that was the best part by far.
Well, you know what we did. But we'll start there since we've already brought it up. We had the pleasure last week of having on our program Alexis Gershwin, who is
the amazing Alexis
niece
Gershwin.
Of Ira and George mm-hmm. Gershwin. And yes, under a keyword there, amazing.
Yeah,
she
pedigree.
Is, mm. wow. And such a beautiful soul and a beautiful spirit and very kind of little girl-like, if you will. She's wide-eyed, innocent, and still from another age, you know, that is so, you don't encounter that very often.
You're right.
So we attended, at her invitation, her concert at the Catalina Bar and Grill because she's
lovely.
Still singing.
I hope so.
Yes,
sure.
She is. And had five pieces behind her and wonderful musical direction mm-hmm. by Stephen Applegate. And she just kind of took off and took us all on this amazing journey of all of her uncle's songs, right? Mm-hmm. It was fun, right? We had our friend Luke
Lagardi,
who's
right,
one of the stars of once the musical. That
and
is
a heck of a dinner companion. He was a lot of fun to talk to.
He was our other guest last week, and she loved him.
Yeah.
Good-looking boy. And she said, please come to my show. She said, I'll come to yours. And he said, well, we're closing Sunday, but it all worked out nicely.
That's right. It was a good time.
Except I took... I offered Luke a ride home.
You're going to let people behind the curtain here at State of the Arts.
Yeah.
This is breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, on Michael Sterling's own... This involves the police. So if you were thinking about tuning out to State of the Arts today, listen up close.
Hold on to your pearls, because it is good. Now, it was just one of those things that I haven't... This hasn't happened to me for 20 years. I offered Luke a ride home because he's staying with a friend here because he lives in New York. He's on tour, has a couple days off before they go back. And so I said, yeah, I'll show you some of the sights on Sunset Boulevard, because he was staying in the West Hollywood area there.
And he had Ubered out there, so
he'd Ubered out
home
there.
Saved him a little cash.
It was a little late, too, at night. So we're going on Sunset Boulevard, and we're right approaching Holloway Plaza Drive, if you know where that is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, for those of you who don't, it's kind of the central part of Sunset Boulevard. And it was a red light, stopped. Waited, the GPS OnStar in my car, which speaks, says, you know, turn to the left onto Holloway Drive. And I do. And behind me, of course, then are these big red and blue lights pulling me over. And I thought, oh, my God, what? And he said, yeah, do you know that you should not have turned left? I said, but my GPS said to turn left. He said, do you always listen to your GPS?
Yes. You know? She's far smarter than that. It's a lovely voice.
Right? So it's just because of the fact that it was a late night hour. It was about 11 o'clock at that point. You know, he took the registration, he took the everything. But when he asked me for it, you know how it is when you're suddenly in the presence of an officer, you get nervous. I got nervous. I was trying to flip through things that, well, one, I can't find it. Terrible.
Michael talks to 100,000 people on the radio and doesn't get nervous at all, but one officer walks up and he suddenly starts thinking, what did I do?
Exactly. Found all that stuff, and then they detained us for about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Just back in their vehicle. You know, I'm sure running, you know, the proper checks and so forth, and then came back with a big smile. Okay, here you sign this. It's confirming a plea that you will show up in Beverly Hills Municipal Court.
So you did get a ticket.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't a formal ticket. It's like a hearing for the situation, I think.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. And I said, well, is this going to be a ticket? Is this going to have some sort of financial attachment to it? He said, yeah. And I said, a lot? And he said, yeah. Determine, you know, that depends on what you think is a lot, but
right,
anything over $50 is
right. Yeah. Then again, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, there could have been an accident there or something like that. So, but I think you said the officer was relatively courteous. Yeah,
yeah, he was. Good. Yeah,
they're
but I mean,
doing
it was totally
job.
Clear. I wasn't trying to dodge traffic as I
no,
was,
of course,
you know, turning over there. So Luke got the biggest kick out of that because he's a New Yorker. He doesn't drive.
You know. Right. Wow.
At any rate, enough about all of that.
Well, we should say, if you get a chance to check out Alexis Gershwin, if you like Jimmy Scott or if you like Michael Bublé or those kind of performers, you will love what she does. Her musical heritage goes back a number of years to where she was sitting in the room with George and Ira Gershwin as some of these songs were played and composed for the first time. And that, to me, really touched me to see that musical heritage last for those years. And she brought that out. You could tell it had been with her forever and ever and ever. I have to tell a quick funny story.
Sure.
We were sitting, I was talking about the show the night after with some friends, and there was a young performer there who had just moved out and was from, I believe, Colorado, same place I'm from, talking about some interesting things, and we brought up George and Ira Gershwin, and he said, now, were they married, or did they get brother and sister? There's no understanding across all the right. years. I thought that was very. I guess seen the names maybe a couple times and never
at least
knew
they heard of them.
Right? I thought that cracked me up. So.
I know. Oh, I think this is happening more often than we would like it to. Actually.
A lot of years of distance there too.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
true. Should we introduce these amazing people
should.
Next to us,
ladies and gentlemen? Our first guest, a gorgeous blue-eyed redhead.
Michael, stop it! I feel like I. He's talking about you. Never mind. Excuse me. I'll step out for a minute.
Oh,
come
on.
She happily returns to the Falcon Theater, where she portrayed Marion Cunningham in Happy Days, a new musical, followed by its national tour. Southlanders and U.S. theatergoers have also seen her as Kathy Seldon in the first Broadway national tour of Singin' in the Rain. She's also appeared in the title role of the much-loved musical Hello, Dolly, as Emily in Elf, the musical, Mrs. Mears in Thoroughly Modern Millie, Violet in 9 to 5, Abigail Adams in 1776, and Muriel in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Television appearances have included Cougar Town, Crossing Jordan, Judging Amy, and a recurring role as Dr. Rachel Ryan on General Hospital. Please welcome the spectacular real-life resident of Toluca Lake, Cynthia Ferrer.
I honestly want this everywhere I go now.
I can follow you around.
Thank you.
There's a cost involved, but it's okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Cynthia, it's great to see you. Thank you for being with us today.
I'm so glad to be here. You guys are such great supporters of theater, and we love you so much.
Thank you.
When they said, will you do Michael's show? I'm like, yes, please.
So last night you had your first preview.
Yes,
and
we did.
How did that go?
Well, it went. Yeah. It went really well. And this is a new show. So whenever you do a new show.
World premiere?
It's not a world premiere in that they had a small production up in Walnut Creek where Roger Bean saw it.
Yes.
And then wanted to sort of change it around a little bit, bring it down to L.A. and open it here. So that's what they've done. They've sort of restructured everything, gone in and torn it up and put it all back together. That said, so it's practically completely new.
Now, Roger Bean is the gentleman who has directed the show, and he has also written many great shows.
Many.
Jukebox musicals,
yes,
mostly.
Yes, he's quite a formidable theater person.
Marvelous Wonderettes,
yes.
If you know that
wonderful
show. Life Could Be a Dream.
That's
right.
Great.
Right. Very successful, off-Broadway.
Yes.
All over the country.
Yes.
Yeah. So he and Molly Bell, who's the writer, composer, and just about everything to do with this show, conceived it, all of that. They are putting this great thing together for the Falcon, and with the idea that I think that when it goes, then you can send it off into other cities, and you can do it with the housewives that are appropriate to that city,
right?
And with a few rewrites. So
now, your character's name is Beezus, which is an unusual name.
It is an unusual.
Is there some explanation for that?
No, there really isn't. She's an unusual character,
right?
Yeah, she's a housewife. She's very, very rich. She is very sensitive about her age. And there's the big mystery is really if she's going through menopause or not at this point.
Michael asks the same question about me every day.
Is that right? Yeah.
Right before I ask it about myself. Yeah. And how is the score?
Oh, the score's great.
Yeah.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah.
And we're singing to tracks. And it is filled out. And it feels like we're doing a rock concert every night, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really contemporary and really cool.
Well, you know, and in that particular theater, which has a great stage and just the right number of people, I think it's about 130.
Yeah,
seats.
It's 130.
It's an intimate space, yes, yet you don't feel, you know, kind of closed in.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful. That's right. Yeah.
Was Mr. Marshall there at the preview last night?
He showed up. We had a little segment before the show, but he's going to be there tonight.
Yes. He always supports his shows.
Yes,
and he'll probably
be
there at the actual opening night, too.
He always is, because of the meatballs, is what I understand. Yeah. We have meatballs in the lobby afterwards. And
you know what's so impressive about him? He's not only a super nice man, really a gentleman. I mean, he walks in very unassumably, and he says hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Whether he knows them or not, but he has a little word with them.
He's looking for the meatballs.
Making his way over there. But, that's so impressive, someone of his stature.
I agree.
He's truly one of a kind.
Yeah. We should take a moment, too, and we're going to talk about some serious things about theater community here in a little bit. But the Falcon Theater has been there for a number of years, and it's been serving that community so well. It's one of the theaters in L.A. that really has changed the neighborhood around it. People have grown up around that theater, and they go there. And it's an icon. When you go through that area, you've got to stop at the Falcon.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you think about what Gary could have done, which was just build his production offices.
Right.
And he said, no, I want to build production offices, but I want to have a theater here for this community because this community has supported me and I love this community. So let me build a theater and let's run some kind of small theater here and see what we can do. Doing new works is very difficult and they take those on regularly. Taking on a musical is enormously expensive for them and daunting too because of the amount of space it takes to even do a small musical like we are. We are a small musical that feels huge, though, I have to say. When you're on stage, it does not feel small on this one.
And the tracks were written especially for the show.
For it.
Yeah? It's, first time the tracks have ever been used, or were they used in previous
production?
No,
and every day it changes a little bit. I have to tell you a story. Last night, we got to the top of one of our entrances, and it was a new track that none of us had heard before.
Oh, no.
and it somehow slipped through the cracks that we were supposed to hear it, and we were all doing something. You could see all our faces just go, five, six, seven, eight, sing, you know, because it all sounded completely different. You know, luckily, they're all pros. We have, like, amazing, you know, Broadway performers here, and everybody came in just right, and we were all just like, wow, we did that. That was pretty good.
It's great.
One of the people that you're working with is a dear, holds a dear place in my heart, Adrienne Visnick.
Oh, who doesn't love
Adrienne
Visnick?
What an amazing young lady she is.
Right?
Of course, from L.A.'s next great stage star.
Wonderful.
A couple of years ago came in second, and she's just one of those old souls that knows what she's doing.
Right?
And exactly what she...
And she's like 10.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right?
It kills me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
she's got a big future. You've worked with her before.
Absolutely. I did another play with her.
Yeah.
So, Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Yeah.
Bruce Kimmel's production. Adrienne Ross, Doug Haverty.
Doug Haverty. Great. And Adrienne was stellar in that. Just amazing.
Yeah, she was. Well, you all were. That was a really interesting piece.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. I thought so, too.
So how has Roger Castellano been handling you now? Is there a lot of dancing?
There is. You know, Roger and I are old dance partners.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've performed opposite each other. So we have this sort of built-in camaraderie, and I love working with him again, I have to say. It's a challenge for him because I think everybody has a different skill set when you're doing something like this. So you're going to have some people who are better dancers than other people, but you got to make everybody look like they're great dancers. Mm-hmm. So that's always, I think that's a pretty much of a challenge for a choreographer. Mm-hmm.
But it's rock and roll music, so it has to be rock and roll choreography?
We are doing body rolls. We are doing
really?
Hip hop. Oh, yes.
My.
We're doing,
wow.
Michael,
we have to see this.
We're doing
yes, we do.
Skanky leg. Okay, I'm just going to say, but you have to say skanky leg. Yeah.
Skanky leg?
Yep.
Oh, my.
We're all that. We're very hip on this one.
How many people in the show?
Was it six of us, right?
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you want to say your castmates? Give a shout out to your castmates?
Oh, yes.
Anita Barone?
Right, Anita mm-hmm. Barone. Fantastic. She has done so much film and television. You guys would know her from that. Mm. Jenna Coker Jones, who is an amazing performer and our dance captain and a great spirit, comes from Broadway. Adrienne, you mentioned.
Yes, of course.
And Meredith Patterson, who's also a beautiful Broadway talent. And she and I have tap-offs a lot, where we just do a one-on-one for tap dancing because we both tap. And she's Broadway girl, who's done White Christmas and worked for Randy Skinner, and we're just lucky that these people have come out here for whatever reason and are available for this show. And then, of course, Mark Ginsberg,
yes,
who's sitting next to me.
Such a chameleon, Mark Ginsberg.
Who plays all the men in the show.
Yeah, really?
All the men.
Why does this not surprise me?
And is brilliant.
Yes, he is.
Truly brilliant.
He's brilliant at everything he does.
Thank you.
Big fan of yours.
Appreciate that.
So this is something that, how would you label this? Is it really a true spoof of the reality TV shows, or is it, what is it?
Well, I think it's a spoof, yeah. And a bit of a parody, and it's just a musical version and slightly heightened, so that would be a spoof or a parody, yeah, definitely. And just a whole lot of fun. So I think that everybody, there's no subject that's off limit for us. So if that tells you anything, and basically, we don't wear a lot of clothes a lot of times.
I'm going to be there immediately. What time is the show up?
I'm going after this.
There's a lot of dicey, fun stuff in it. It's controversial. Hopefully it will just be fun for everybody. They'll come and laugh and have a great time. It's great for girls' night out or a date night. We're having a great time. It's a party.
I would think that the residents of Toluca Lake, just by the title alone, especially the female residents, would definitely want to sign up for this.
Well, we already know that one night the entire garden club is coming. We do know that. And then another night, all of my neighbors, I'm lucky enough to actually live in Toluca Lake with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they're all, it's Toluca Lake. So they're having a full party and then coming over to the theater. And then they're going to pretty much sell it out. So
now the idea is that this show could be done, like you were saying earlier, at other places with a few lyric change, a few changes in the title and that sort of thing, and
exactly.
Then be done and adapted to any town anywhere in the country.
Right?
I
brilliant.
Love that. So playwrights need to get out and see this, but also directors and artistic directors need to get out and add this to their season, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's so doable. You know, there's mm-hmm. not that many. As long as you can find Mark Ginsberg, you're good.
Right. Well, we've got his contact info, so call us. We'll send him.
And we'll take 10%.
That's right, absolutely right. Finally, some money coming in to State of the Arts here on LA Talk Radio.
My goodness. Well, you know what? Let me ask you this. We have a couple more minutes with you.
Okay.
I always love to know what inspires performers to become performers. So when did that happen in your life?
Michael asked this question dying for someone to say, well, it was you, Michael, from the very beginning. So if you want to win a few extra points, that's your
chance.
I wish
I could. Yeah, it was you, Michael.
You're a bad boy.
It was all you.
How young were you, first of all, when you knew that this was something you wanted to do?
I can't remember a time when I didn't know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
But I think it had to do with, I came from very shy parents and a very shy brother and sister who were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And being red-haired and blue-eyed, I always got a lot of attention as a little kid, but I was a little precocious and a singer and a dancer and would step right out in front. So they pretty much pushed me out in front. Let's Sin handle it. So at four, I was always handling things because I was the only one who wasn't particularly shy. So I thought, well, this works out well for me. I'll just go forward. And then people like that. And I was a pleaser and, you know, and then it just went from there. I think I want to dance and I think I want to do this. And, you know, it's funny the paths that lives take you, your life takes you. I wanted so much to be a ballet dancer, but I don't have what a ballet dancer needs to be successful. And that was okay because then I found musical theater at about 12, right when you sort of have to take that path.
Right.
And musical theater was it for me in every way. It satisfied me in every way.
But did you realize that you could? When did you realize you could sing? Or did your
early
parents
on.
Realize? Did
no,
they capitalize on that and send you to a singing teacher right away?
No, they weren't. I had sort of a real normal childhood that way. But my mom was very involved in the church, and I sang in church choirs forever. So I got to be really good at harmonies and stepping out and doing little solos there. So.
Sweet, huh?
That's great.
Sweet. Well, and I love it's I think that's really, you know, there's nothing like, well, I wish that life were a musical. It's just not possible. But there's nothing like musical theater. And last night I saw this impeccable show at the opening of the A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder at the Amundsen Theater, which
that's
just
a beautiful
opened
show.
It is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you just sit there with your mouth open. It is so, every beat of the show is so perfect, and it's just sewn together so beautifully.
That's a case where they just believed in a product, and they had a vision.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And my good friend Peggy Hickey was choreographer of that.
Yes,
she did
I
a
know
phenomenal
Peggy.
Job.
Yeah, she sure did, and it's gorgeous to look at, and it's fast, and it's pleasing and hilarious, and these people are so amazingly talented, especially the gentleman that plays 8 different roles.
Wow.
Yeah. So, probably like yourself in this show, right?
But that's but Mark
8?
Plays 18.
That's it. I assume your paycheck is 10 times higher then, right?
Oh, naturally. I would never tell them that, but of course.
We should tell people, Andrew, how to see the show. Do you want to do that?
Absolutely. Actually, Michael, I'll let you take that if you have that
right
there in front of
sure.
you.
Sure. Previews, as we said, started last night, and they go through the 26th of March. I'm sorry, through March 31st. And the show officially opens April 1st, and that run goes through Sunday, April 24th. And it's very, very easy to get tickets. It's the Falcon Theater at 4252 Riverside Drive, Burbank, California. They have their own box office, which you can walk up to and purchase tickets. Telephone number for purchasing tickets, 818-955-8101, or go to their website, Falcon Theater, and that is spelled, the English spelling is the T-H-E-A-T-R-E, falcontheater.com. Already on sale now. You can get them for as little as $29 and not have to pay much more for that on, you know, in other areas of the theater. So
great deal.
Great deal. As we always say, put the remote down, get away from that TV, and go out and support live theater.
And we should mention great places to eat and good parking all around the theater. So the Falcon's a great place
Some
to visit.
Classic places around that theater. Bob's Big Boy, which
has I have
been
spent
there.
Hours at in one setting.
So many years. Patty's restaurant, which is kind of the big studio hang, and so many other great spots on
Absolutely.
Riverside Drive. Make
great
it an
sushi.
Evening, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we'll bring this up again about how to buy tickets. So we do have an arts calendar that we have to do right now. So
let's
we're
do that. Cynthia, will you stay with us for another little bit while we
I
talk to your cohort?
To.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And did you tell them about what we do at the end of the show?
I baptized them a little bit before. I told them
you did?
Them because I liked them. You know, the guest we surprise, we know we want to give a little bit extra of a bump to these two I like. Okay. The truth is I just remember to tell them when I forget to tell everybody else. So
all right.
We should do a live arts calendar though, Michael.
Yes, we should.
International award winning singing and film star Olivia Newton-John will bring her special talents to the Pala Casino Spa and Resorts Event Center stage tomorrow, March 25th at 8 p.m. in Pala, California, part of the greater San Diego area. Miss Newton-John's appeal continues to be timeless.
From her singing debut in the early 60s in Australia to her 10 number one hits in the U.S. and Europe, 4 Grammy Awards, countless country music, American Music and People's Choice Awards, 100 million albums sold worldwide. Her 1978 blockbuster co-starring role with John Travolta in Grease, and her ongoing philanthropic work for breast cancer awareness. Her worldwide popularity is as strong as ever.
Tickets for Olivia Newton-John may be obtained by calling the Paula box office at 877-946-7252. That's 877-946-7252. Or by calling Star Tickets at startickets.com.
Now, to that, in the news this week surfaced this item that the boyfriend that she had for 9 years, who had suddenly vanished and could not be found, has been spotted living in Mexico.
Right.
But I think that either was rumored in the past, but now some sort of definite spotting has been made.
What's that about?
I have no idea.
It's a very strange.
Let's get her on the phone.
We should. I'll call her up.
You know, it's funny. I've got a quick Olivia Newton-John story. She, of course, played Vegas, I believe, just recently. And I have a friend, a multi-Grammy Award-winning friend, Delius Kennedy from the group All for One, who's one of my favorite musicians on the planet and a good friend and a good person as well. And he is a huge Olivia Newton-John fan and went out to visit her with Bob Torti, another friend of the show.
I love
in Vegas.
Bob Torti.
Yep. And she called him up on stage to sing with her. Now, my buddy Tim, Delius Kennedy, has been all around the world, had people screaming for him for years, and he was like a five-year-old getting up on that stage. He was so excited to sing with her. So her appeal has stretched across the generations.
It's interesting when women have that effect on men, and I just had that too. I just interviewed Sutton Foster, you know, for Broadway World TV.
Of course.
On the lot of Warner Brothers. She's doing a special episode of The Gilmore Girls, which is being rebooted by Netflix. It's four 90-minute specials about the Gilmore Girls. And it was 7 hours I was there. And when it came to the seventh hour, when the interview finally was taking place, which was supposed to take place in the first hour, but you know how TV goes, I was like sweating. I was like so nervous. I never get nervous interviewing people. I mean, I don't care who they are, but for her, I have such a respect for her, and I think she's so awesome.
But she's the nicest
and she is
most self-effacing person in the world, right?
And we had had some, you know, catch-can conversation just off camera, you know, at various times during the day. But then when it was on camera, I just, like, melted. I just and Christian Borle was also in this episode. And they were married, so I thought that was very cool. Because
so you got as nervous around her as you did around the cop, or was it a little bit different? Did she give you a ticket and summon you to court? Or, no?
Well, I saw a future with her, not with the cop.
You saw
Yeah!
Hoping I was seeing one. Now her husband doesn't mind. You know,
Well, now we need to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, something that I think is an extremely sad occurrence, but I hope it has a positive outcome. One of our favorite companies has made a sad announcement this week, haven't they, Michael?
Yes, they have, and it's Cabrillo Music Theater, who will be suspending production at the conclusion of the 2015-2016 season that is currently in progress, following Children of Eden, which is opening soon, and The Little Mermaid, which will be their summer production. The press release, which just came out, says that they will halt production and will reassess future options. The sad part about it is that it's not the first time that this company has been in financial strain, but due to Lewis Wolkenfeld, who is one of the most gracious, lovely, heartful, passionate men about theater and keeping it alive in Southern California, he has always been able to rally the forces to come back and be able to get the next season on. And this has just started happening more recently, as we see it happening, you know, with all of the discussion about Equity Waiver Theater and the debacle of equity and all of this stuff. But this is something that I think is really a lack of responsibility by the community out there in Thousand Oaks.
Well, and also a tribute to how difficult it is to do good theater, because Cabrillo never let down that bar. They said, we're going to do Broadway quality shows. And I think as a group, we have as artists, but also as just people who live in a community, we have an obligation to take our children to these shows. And these were not financially irresponsible people. Cindy Murray, who's a great businesswoman and a wonderful supporter of theater. Ray Mastrovito, who's been with it. He's a great performer and a great business person as well, has been with the company since its inception. They opened up there in 94.
1964 at the Civic Arts Plaza and built that house. I mean, they essentially brought those people in when nobody else was going there. For me, I think this is a really sad happening, but I also have faith that those people are going to bring this back. I don't have any doubt that this is not the last we've heard from the great Cabrillo.
Well, I hope that is the case. I really do hope that is the case, but I think that more importantly, this time, I think what needs to happen, and what I know that Lewis would like to see happen, is for people that are aware of this and people who are listening to this program mm-hmm. today and will download it after we do it live, get on the your computer and find out the email address for the Ventura County Star newspaper mm-hmm. and for the Acorn newspaper.
Absolutely.
And write to those entertainment editors and make a plea to do feature stories about this and rally the forces there in Thousand Oaks and get them stimulated
Absolutely.
Because
right.
they're going to lose something. It's the biggest theater between San Francisco and that area.
That's right.
They're losing the opportunity for their children to perform in a situation where they can work it with professionals and learn and have that kind of experience. And that's just not around for everybody.
Absolutely.
And it's a gift that Lewis has given to that community, because primarily their casts are non-union locals
yes.
with a few equity, you know, L.A. actors.
Yeah.
And they do high-caliber productions out there.
Yes,
and that's the thing. He's not going to lower the bar.
You're
he
right.
keeps the
You're
bar
right.
high. So
he's got too much dignity for that.
Yeah.
So
we complain about parking and we complain about places that are hard to get into.
Right.
The Civic Arts Plaza is one of the great places to go visit. It's comfortable, it's safe, and it's a fun place to see shows with everything you'd expect. And to lose that, I think, would be a tremendous devastation to the
right,
community.
Too. And folks, if anything, go out and see the rest of this season. Children in Eden, which will open on Friday, April 8th, and run through Sunday, April 17th. The Little Mermaid, their big blockbuster production for the summer, opens on July 15th and runs through July 24th. Help save Cabrillo Music Theater at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza.
That's right. I'm in a show right now called Shakespeare and the Beatles, and our cast is getting together, the group, to go see their shows. They offer group rates, of course. If you're in a show right now, if you have an off night, go ahead and get a group together. Go out there with group tickets, sit down, see the show, and just support some place that has given so much to the community and so much to Los Angeles.
Absolutely. All right. So, Lewis, we're out here trying to stir it up for you. So
yeah, we love you, Lewis.
We believe
stand
you guys.
By. We love you. That's right.
Now,
that's
sitting it. Next to me, Michael, I don't know how I always get these talented guys sitting next to me. It
I
makes
know.
Me feel bad about myself.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No, I would across from you.
Oh,
but yeah, I've kind of got a bubble on that one. I keep my
Damn
distance
it.
From you. A New York transplant born and raised in Philadelphia. Our next guest is making his Falcon Theater debut in The Real Housewives of Toluca Lake. He was recently seen as Aaron in the Southern California premiere of First Date at the L.A.
Working with two knuckleheads, Justin Michael Wilkins
right.
and Kelly Dorney.
Michael, that whenever you send me the script, I always plug it into my phone, and my phone reads it to me. And she says La Mirada like L.A. Mirada. She
oh.
says it's the L.A. Mirada Theater.
Wow.
At the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts in La Mirada, California. He's also been seen as Lord Farquaad. I'm sorry, say the name for me.
Farquaad.
Is that
yeah.
what it is?
Oh, yes.
That's
yeah.
so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Farquaad in Shrek, Con Man Lawrence Jameson in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. As Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Also with Justin Michael Wilcox.
Another
yes.
who we yeah. love here on the show.
Yep. Yep.
He's been
a
seen
devil.
In...
He follows me. I can't get rid of him. What can I say?
I see his post on Facebook all the time with somebody else saying, "We're talking about you. We're talking about
yeah.
you." I think he stirs things up in this
he
town.
He knows everybody. We love him.
He's also been seen in Man of La Mancha, Leo Bloom in The Producers, Billy Bigelow in Carousel, Foreman in Les Mis, and of course, Fuentes in Kiss of a Spider Woman, Fagin in Cameron McIntosh's first U.S. national tour of Oliver, and a slew of other colorful characters in the hilarious musical theater Send Up, Forbidden Broadway. Please welcome the multi-gifted Mark Ginsburg, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh,
yay. I have Cynthia's cheering section.
They had oh, signs nice. For you, though. That's what, you know, nobody sees
it.
That.
I believe it.
Mark, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You and I met, first met at Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I believe
at
least, that's right.
Shaking hands and face to face. But we actually worked together because you did Shrek for 3D theatricals.
Not for 3D.
Oh, you didn't do
for
it.
Moonlight Amphitheater.
Okay.
Which there was a couple tie-ins because T.J. Dawson, who runs 3D and who did Shrek there. He also played Shrek at Moonlight. Yes. And the guy who played Farquaad and directed the show at 3D, David F.M. Vaughn, decided he wanted to step away from performing the role for a while. It's hell on the knees. But
what a great role, though.
A great role and a brilliant performer, director. He came out and directed at Moonlight and gave me the opportunity to fill his shoes or knee pads and all that jazz.
You know, I've never seen Shrek, not the movie or the play.
Really?
I was on my way down to see it at 3D Theatricals and got stuck in traffic. I was so excited. I've never seen the show. And it's one of those weird gaps in my life. It just blows my mind that I've never had a chance to see that.
It's a lot of fun. The movie is brilliant. It's beautifully
Everybody
made.
Everybody says that. Yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And they did a really great job of not trying to reinvent the wheel too much. They took the movie and they put it on stage in terms of costuming and makeup and storytelling. It's really impressive the way they did it. And luckily, you would never think that a guy of, almost 6 feet in height would play Farquaad, who's supposed to be, a little Napoleonic Lilliputian ruler and all that. But they had a brilliant concept where they have you walking on your knees the entire show with a pair of legs strapped to your thighs. And it's an amazing sight gag. The costume does three quarters of the work for you, but it's brilliantly written. One of the most fun roles I've ever played in
my
life.
That's great. Yeah. That is fantastic.
Physically taxing, though?
Yeah, to an extent. People would think the knees, but the way they've constructed it is they have you on these really thick knee pads. It's like catcher's pads, mm-hmm. but the rubber is so thick that you barely even feel it. Where you really need to be careful is holding yourself up with your lower back and what have you. And if you have that squared away, it's really not too shabby. You're not on stage for more than 10 minutes at a time, so they they take pity on you that way.
That's
but
funny.
I guess the tough physical strain, costume-wise, in that show, of course, is that of Shrek's.
It's got to be difficult. Oh, yeah, I've seen those costumes.
Even though they have fans inside of it to kind of try to keep the actor, at a particular temperature, I'm not certain that it's completely effective.
I shared a dressing room with TJ and with Cornelius Jones, who played Donkey, and he wore a big woolen sleeping bag, basically. So he was hot as anything. And TJ, I watched the makeup process every single night. It's layers of latex, and then he's got the padding on top of it, and the costume on top of that, and he's got 6-inch lifts in his shoes and big gloves. And TJ's a big guy already, so with the lifts made him about 6'8". So that was amazing. But watching him and seeing him come off stage every time, he would have a case of coconut water in the dressing room and go through about half of it each night. It was
almost thought
absolutely
he was going to say cocaine.
That was in the costume.
I was going to say I left the theater before him, so I can't speak for that. But
no, that would be so far away from Mr. Dawson.
Absolutely not.
Thought process.
But
just kidding.
Bless them both, because luckily, like I said, I got to run off stage and get off my legs or my knees a little bit and relax. They never had a minute to relax or to cool off. So they were amazing.
Wow. Yep. You are really, I said this at the beginning of the show, you are such a chameleon in the parts that I'm aware that you have done.
Thank you.
And just based on seeing you in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
He actually played Cynthia in the first part of our show, which I thought was very strange.
He's
very, very good.
I thought it was a little off.
Don't put it past him.
He could do it.
He could.
Oh, if only I were that beautiful.
Oh,
please.
Oh, please. Stop.
How did you get involved with this show? Given that background where you've done so many different roles, how did you audition for this? Did they find you?
I did. I got an audition notice from my agent who said this would be a great production to work in. It's really a great showcase for the one male in the entire show. And I was probably submitted because I've played multiple characters and had done impressions in Forbidden Broadway and other such things.
You're so good at all that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's just honestly years of watching TV and movies and just seeing people that I love and trying to emulate the people that I really admire as performers. So I think that got me in the room. And once that happened, I went in, sang one of the songs. I did four different characters from the show, all different voices, different characterizations. They said, thank you very much. You have another song, sang another song, left the room, and 2 days later, I got the part. I don't know what I did in the room. I was just being completely ridiculous and silly, and you know, not trying to take myself too seriously.
How much did you know about it before you went in?
Very, very little.
Did they send you sides?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did. I did get sides, and I did my best. I looked at it, and without a frame of reference to the show,
right.
Because you know, with the ladies, you get a breakdown of each character. You really get a specific idea of who each lady is, but for some of the roles that were in my sides, it's just, you know, an announcer who's had too much Botox and he's got a lot of energy. You know, gay hairdresser. And
you didn't have that in
your
pocket.
Okay. Just go, I guess I can't really do too much background work on that. It could be any you know, TV host in the world. So I just kind of tried to have fun and not take it too seriously. Get a voice in my head and then just go in without too much preparation, without getting in my head too much, and just kind of letting it happen and just being ridiculous and just being showing them myself in a vast array of other people.
It's a great way to do it.
Thanks.
Well, that must be a hoot for you to be able to get that much exercise during one outing on the stage.
It's I've said this to so many people. It's literally being shot out of a cannon right from.
It's a train.
Totally.
Once you're on it, you're on it.
It's an unstoppable train. Uh-huh. And the biggest break I have in the show is the first 7 minutes of the show, which is the opening number. And then the second I hit the stage, if I'm not on stage, I'm backstage changing very quickly. And it never ever stops. There's never a minute to just take a break, grab a sip of water, and go, okay, I'm on in 2 minutes. There's always something going on.
Working with these five beautiful women for 2 hours of a hilarious show doing what you love, you're not going to get any sympathy from me today, though, brother.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, I would never expect
He's learned a lot about push-up bras, though.
Yeah.
Perhaps more than he wishes to know.
I was going to say, more.
We'll have you
and
back
many other things.
Product placement later this week.
Oh, man. But honestly, that, I mean, I say it before, it's great to be doing a new show and to be playing all these parts that really, you know, stretch what you can do. But honestly, the best part about the whole thing is working with the five ladies. And I'm not saying that just because Cynthia's sitting next to me. I'm serious.
Yes, you
they are. Well, maybe a little bit. But no, they are seriously five of the sweetest, most generous, most ridiculously hilarious and fearless people I've ever worked with. They've really taken time to cultivate and to create and to bring something new to the show, because we had, you know, we had a script and we had a score, obviously, but it's ever changing. The creator, Molly Bell, really wants to hone this, and she looked to all of us, to the music director, the director, choreographer, and all of us to help her do that.
That's
and
great.
To watch these five women do what they do and really just bring such a new dimension to each character was incredible. They are all, that's the word I can use, they are all fearless in what they do. It's really incredible to watch.
Well, then Molly must be deliriously happy, right?
I would hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more time to see The Real Housewives of Toluca Lake, the musical, with book and music and lyrics by Molly Bell, directed by Roger Bean. And it is currently in previews through the 31st of March, and it opens officially April 1st, and it runs through April 24th at the beautiful Falcon Theater in Toluca Lake. And that is located at 4252 Riverside Drive. And telephone number for tickets, 818-955-8101 or falcontheater.com.
Tickets as low as $29. Get
yeah.
out there and see that show. Maybe meet Gary Marshall if you can. And
yeah.
get a meatball. If you get a chance to get a meatball,
get
I hear
the meatball.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, come on.
Get the meatballs.
They are good meatballs, actually, too. Yeah. All right, kids. It's that time. It is that time for the baptismal.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia's been through this one other time. But
I was trying to think which story I told you last time.
I don't remember.
I don't. Well, good, then I'll tell a different one.
50 stories ago, I don't remember.
Right?
Mark is thinking. So do you want to start?
I'm a deep
sure.
Player.
Okay.
Embarrassing moments.
Okay. So I was playing Philia, and a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, and I got food poisoning for the second show. And we didn't have an understudy. So they put, excuse my French, barf buckets on either side of the stage. And I would sing the song, which she does. I'm lovely. All I am is lovely. And then finish the song and go off stage and lose my cookies into the barf bucket. And it was sort of a out-of-body experience, needless to say. And then come back and be lovely.
You don't feel lovely with your head in a bucket?
Yeah, it was odd, but yeah.
Someone
that's
hold
one of
my
many.
Lovely hair.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Lord.
But I mean, but that taste remains in your
mouth. Oh, yes. And I can only imagine how I look to everybody else, too. You know?
Poor hero.
I know, right? Oh, at least I don't think we ever kiss. There's maybe a peck at some point.
So the real question is, did you have those written into your contract, those buckets for each future show, just in case?
Just in case.
I'm going to need two buckets available.
Here's what you do when you're a starving actress. You know, that's one of those shows that... Well, anyway, so I thought I could put the tuna fish on the windowsill because it was cold enough that the mayonnaise wouldn't go bad in the tuna fish,
Lord.
But it did. And I wasn't a smart move.
And
on my
every
part.
Actress playing hero, or every actress out there playing any part now, just decided to become a vegetarian for the rest of their lives. Never have that happen.
Well, my parents after that sent me a refrigerator, which I was then supposed to carry around the country with me. I didn't do that, but it was a nice thought.
Cynthia, what a disaster. What a great story. Because that, I'm telling you, if you're on film, you stop shooting for a day. On live theater, you don't get that opportunity. My goodness. Mark, what do you got for us?
Yeah.
I don't have any nudity stories for you.
I've done
two shows where I have been in the nude, but those were written in.
Intentional.
That was, I was going to say, but no, the one that I can think of, I go back to college for it. We were doing a production of Anything Goes my junior year. I was in the ensemble, and right before DeLovely, when it's supposed to be raining out, and you know, Hope says, "Oh, and look, now it's raining." Our director wanted it to, you know, appear like it was raining. So we had two people walk across the stage. It was me and Broadway's own Carly Hughes, who's mm-hmm. been in Pippin and Beautiful and Motown and every other show. She's a huge star now. Walking across the stage, we hear thunder, and we go, oh, geez, it's raining. And we go running up this long spiral staircase in a tuxedo and an evening gown. So one night, we go, oh, there's the thunder. Let's start running up. We get up the stairs, and about three-quarters of the way up, I don't know what happened. To this day, I don't know what happened, but my feet came out from under me, and I slid the entire way down the spiral staircase on my stomach, on my face, which probably took, you know, all of 2 seconds, and you're sitting there, and it feels like a half hour, and you're going, great. And I get to the bottom of the staircase. Everybody's cracking up. You know, the Hope and the Billy are staring at me. Carly's at the top of the stairs holding her face, you know, trying to stop laughing. And all I could do is get up, look around, give a polite nod, and then run all the way back up the stairs again. So it stopped the show, but not in a good way.
Did it hurt? It must have hurt.
No, thankfully I kept my chin up. I mean,
right.
I'm sure it hurt my palms and my knees and all that, but luckily I didn't actually hit my face, but it hurt my ego. It hurt my soul.
Those practicalities can be dangerous. You're right, especially in musical theater when everybody's going full speed backstage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That can be dangerous.
And as soon as you introduce water into something,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
never going to be good.
Yeah, I've done a lot of shows with water,
too.
And there's always that excitement factor.
You know, adrenaline starts going.
When Anything Goes was last year in Los Angeles with Rachel York and Eric Bergen, both of them had bizarre things happen in that show. He also, on an entrance, walked smack dab into a piece of scenery that knocked him out.
Did it really?
And he had to leave.
Oh, my goodness.
Be taken to the hospital. And
wow.
His understudy had to step in. And she did something similar. And the two of them, and she was then out. Not in the same show, but
it sounds like a Disney movie.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Cole Porter is looking down and laughing at us right now.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
It's amazing. Michael, what amazing guest we had today.
Yes, indeed. Thank you both
for joining us.
We appreciate it. Of course.
It was so nice to be here. Beautiful day.
I know.
Beautiful company.
Right?
Can't
right?
be better.
So, we can't leave the audience wondering what two shows he was nude in. So what was that?
Well, one of them was Naked Boy Singing off Broadway.
Well, makes sense.
At and
New
you
World
were
stages.
Naked in that show. What a coincidence.
I know, it's crazy. It's not just a clever title, believe it or not.
You know what's interesting about that show? It's actually a good show.
It is. It's a very good show, and it started in Los Angeles.
I know.
Wow.
Back in the day, one of the writers, including Bruce Valanche.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
How come you're not naked in our show?
Aren't I close enough?
Close enough.
Let's
emotionally
be honest.
Naked.
Yes.
If I let them keep going, are we going to have to change our rating on the show here, Mike? What was the other show, Mark?
Naked Boy Singing, and the other was?
The other one was the Deep Throat Sex Scandal at the Zephyr Theater in early 2013. It was actually...
The Linda Lovelace thing?
That's right. Yeah. It was a play version of... Not just the making of the movie, but the important part was the legal ramifications afterwards and the freedom of speech trial that Harry Reams... went through, and unfortunately he actually passed away during our run of the show. So we were able to dedicate each performance to him, which was sad but
a great tribute. Yes, absolutely wonderful.
Wow. That's See what amazing. You learn here on State of the Arts?
Tune in to State of the Arts. You get an education as well as a little entertainment.
That's right.
Exactly.
Michael, are you going to drive safe this week?
I better. I have no choice.
No more left turns.
Please.
All right,
right?
Turns.
Everything is
just
turning
keep
right.
Keep going to the right.
You'll be going in big circles in Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you'll join us again next week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Andrew David James.
I'm Michael Sterling. And thank you for listening. Thank you. Both of you, Cynthia and Mark, for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.